But here, on the very rim of known space, justice is a long way away.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian. Joining me, as always, is your co-host, Spaz.
As time goes on, I found that I've disliked the taste of comets. I actually prefer asteroids. They're a little meatier.
This is how we're starting. This is how we're out the gate. Right? No, this is okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. It. Sure. Also joining us is your co-host Julie.
Hello from Illinois, where I have learned to not like cold weather and especially despise the ice that comes along.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Boston's getting something fair too. Your co-host Thorsten.
Hello. Imagine playing games where you look at the landscape and think about how did this form?
All the time. And your co-host, Jacob.
Peace is good for business.
Yeah. Is that one of the Ferengi?
That is one of the rules of acquisition. It's one of the rules of acquisition.
And that was, I believe, number 33.
And one of the other ones is war is good for business. I think they're both.
Yes, 34 is war is good for business. Amazing. Just, you know, amazing. Getting the point across.
Astounding. All right, so friends, we have a topic this week. It was recommended by Spaz, so I'm going to let him take the lead. It is games in which direct combat is not a factor. So, Spaz, why don't you start us off and get our brain boxes going so we can contribute to this.
So my first thought on this when I came up with the topic was that, yeah, there are plenty of games in which you can fight a thing, conflict against another faction or against the environment even. But there are times where maybe that's not what you want. Maybe just the struggle itself to advance, to succeed, comes from things you do that aren't necessarily tied directly to violence in order to achieve those goals. And the first example I have for this is a game we've covered on the show before. We had the developer on. And this is a game in which you do have combat, but you effectively pay for it to happen. You hire pirates in this game to sabotage your opponents. So there is no direct combat. This is Off-World Trading Company.
Oh, of course. Of course. How could I? That game, okay, that game kicks my ass so thoroughly, I forget about it all the time because I am so bad at it. I am so bad at it, but it is such a good game. Oh my God, it is such a good game. Oh my God.
So for those who haven't played it, it's an RTS in which you are managing an off-world trading company. You are trying to provide resources to the cities that are on Mars, as well as ship them off planet to Earth. And in doing so, you're expanding your territory and growing your business, but you also have competitors which you can mess around with.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, remember the thing where you pay for corporate sabotage, but you don't actually, you know, engage in it. Got all about that. That is an excellent example. Do you have one more to get our brain boxes going? That's a really good one.
Absolutely. Yeah. There is another game which also happens to be set on Mars. It's a card-based game. Hold on a moment. Look at the stream chat, please.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't look like we are live. Does not look like we're live. I'm not seeing us on YouTube either. Huh.
Right.
Have now, we teased well, it this much? Yeah, no, Twitch is offline.
While you're doing that, I might as well continue.
Yeah, continue.
Unless we want to call it.
No, we'll have the audio. We'll have the audio. We've already started.
All right.
We've already started.
So the next game I have is a card-based game, and it is set on Mars, in which you are sent there to terraform Mars. You have various leaders that you control, but there is no combat. You could think of it as a 3X, where you are exploring, you are expanding, and you are exploiting resources in order to terraform the planet. But there is zero combat of any kind.
Wait, say the game.
And that is.
Oh, God.
The game is Terraformers.
Oh.
It's a brilliant game. A brilliant, brilliant game. It's also 60% off as I'm saying this right now.
Oh, yeah. So friends, sorry. We usually do this live, but for some reason, and I know I put the key into. I put the key into Discord, into OBS, so I don't know what's going on. So you'll just hear the audio today. But I could not get into Terraformers, I'm going to be honest. I tried, and I think I'm too dumb to...
You're terrible at planning. That's the thing.
I am awful at it. Absolutely awful at it.
Yeah.
It's a known weakness of mine.
That's just a statement of fact.
Yeah, it's a known weakness of mine, and I will agree that it's not the game's fault. I know it's my fault because I am terrible at I am terrible at looking ahead. Absolutely terrible at looking ahead. I am frustrated about this YouTube Twitch restream thing.
Which is unfortunate, but again, at least we'll have the audio.
At least we'll have the audio, and I'm recording the audio. And OBS says it's streaming and it's recording, and I've got another recording, so I don't know what's happening. I put the key in there. I know I put the key in there. What I could do, I guess, is I could start streaming, put the key in again, and start the stream and see if that works. Keep talking, Spaz. I'm going to do that. I'm going to give that a shot.
All right. Well, I happen to have another pick as well, which I can throw out here while we're still doing that. This is a game that is currently in early access as of right now, as a recording. It came out in 2023. And it's a completely non-combat game. Spaceport Trading Company. It's an economic sim.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Rings a bell.
Have I played this? Oh, I haven't played it yet. I haven't played it yet.
I made the joke that it's false advertising, because you're actually not trading spaceports. But
it's like that. It's like that. That Animaniacs episode with the garage sale.
Yeah.
How much for this particular garage? It's on the list. I have it, and it's on the list. But the list. Of early access.
The list is
games.
Huge.
Oh, it's got dozens of games on it at this point. That's why I'm doing it twice a week now. But no, this one looks good and it's got good reviews. I have not played it. Yeah. So how's it work in this one?
Well, it is you're traveling between stations, and you're just, it's buying and selling. Buy low, sell high, in order to build up your company. And as of June, they added modding support. So that's a thing.
Okay. That's always great. It's got good reviews and looks definitely pretty good. Certainly looks good. I can do trading all right. Decent at trading. As long as I don't have to go too many, as long as I can only, like, if I can, I can only handle maybe two or three steps ahead at a time. And that's really all I can do. So trading, I'm not bad at, but when it comes to like logistics and planning,
A note on Terraformers is that the order in which you do things actually really matters. So planning out your turn for how you're going to place or how you're going to do the actions you're going to take and the order you do them in can make a serious difference in how well that turn plays out for you. But because it is fully turn-based, you can take your time. And you can even undo some actions that are not involved with exploring because, well, once you've revealed the thing, you know what it is, so you can't undo that. But some actions can be undone, and you can undo up to a point. So for those who are looking at Terraformers and not really sure whether or not it's for them, keep that in mind when you play it.
Okay, that doesn't sound too bad. I always appreciate a good undo. Oh, interesting, Thorsten. So Thorsten says, technical side note, that it started like I got a little bit, like it started a little bit, like 4 seconds of it, and then nothing. So that's intriguing. Wonder if Restream is having a problem. Anyway. All right. So I thought of one, we'll save your examples for if we can't think of any more, but Spaz, but sure. I thought of one, it's on the, well, I was going to say it's on the stream right now, but no, it's not. if you look at the, oh no, you can't look at the thing. Cause there is no thing to look at. I was thinking Scavenger SV4. Was the game that came to mind. And Jacob, was that stealing your game? Did I steal your game?
No. Oh, great. Because that game does have shooting in it.
It does have shooting in it?
Yes, you just have to... Yes.
Okay.
Stop. Yeah, it does.
Okay, I must have not...
This game without shooting. Sorry.
Yeah, you didn't get that far, Brian. But yes, it does.
Okay, so I guess I'm wrong. Because I didn't get that far. I was only scanning and running away from things, but I didn't know there was shooting.
Which is most of the gameplay, but some of the artifacts you recover are weapons of various flavors. Oh. You don't start with one. You have to recover an alien artifact that is a weapon that you shove onto your drone, and then you get to shoot things, including the various flyers and aliens and all the stuff that causes you pain.
Oh, there are flyers in the game? Oh my god.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I stopped playing it.
Honestly, they're dramatically less scary than Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff was very scared. Okay, so I guess my example is mostly incorrect. I mean, about two, three hours I played it there was no combat at all. So that's why I had that in my head, but I'm happy to be proven wrong. So
there is one you can talk about though. Distant Worlds.
Yes. Cause, so friends, if you're unaware, Distant Worlds is a massive, massive, massive grand strategy 4X game. Probably one of the biggest, there is in terms of scope, but you can automate it. You can automate a lot of stuff. And only focus on the stuff you want to focus on. So you can have the game's artificial intelligence, and I mean that like in the classical form, not in the new generative form. The game's AI basically take over combat for you entirely. It can take over fleets. It could build ships, things like that. And I'm sorry about that. And
if you want to focus on the economic side, you totally can.
Yeah, if you just want to focus on, say, espionage and colonization, you can do that. So that's a game where there is combat, but you do not have to engage in it at all if you don't want to, because you can let the AI handle all that. And the AI, I mean, for a game that big, the AI does a pretty good job. It's not perfect. It's not perfect. It's getting better. Like when Distant Worlds 2 first came out, it was terrible at building fleets, and it was terrible at keeping those fleets refueled, for example. It's gotten a lot better at that now, thank God, after many patches and several DLCs. So you don't have to babysit your fleets like you used to back in the proverbial day. But yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one where yeah, you don't really have to. I mean, it's there, but you don't have to engage in it, and you can just make it like that much background noise if you want to. So that's a good example. Does anyone else have a game that comes to mind?
Well, yes. Yes, I do.
Go for it.
Go ahead, Julie.
Well, I will say first off, sometimes when we're on this show, I feel like that Peanuts cartoon where, you know, they're looking at the clouds and Linus says, I see the ceiling existing chapel. And Charlie Brown says, I was going to say I see a ducky and a horse, but I've changed my mind. But when you have a stressful job like I do, extremely so, one of the last things you want to do when you get off trying to squeeze 80 hours worth of work into a 40-hour week, after you're done with your family and you finally have a little time to yourself and you've cleaned up half your bird and it's 10:30 at night, you don't want to get involved in anything that takes a lot of brain power. So one of the things that, if you've ever played Lord of the Rings, one of the nicest areas is the Shire. And if you want an experience of the Shire, you can take anywhere. And as it's still, everybody's still there?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yes. I heard a little ding.
No, I apologize. So, that was me.
Oh, if you want to take the Shire with you anywhere you go, Tales of the Shire. The most hostile thing I've been asked to do is catch butterflies. Unlike Stardew Valley, where if it gets too late, you get exhausted, people charge you a fee. If what? You get exhausted, yes, in Stardew Valley, if you get exhausted and you collapse someplace because it's too late, you get charged money for it. You money grubbing.
What?
Yeah, you so do. If you...
Well, that's yeah, what
basically it's a drag you back to your bed fee.
Oh, I thought like that's where we were going as a country, where if you're sleeping on a park bench, they ticket you because it's illegal now. That kind of thing.
No, if you sleep on a park bench in a lot of cities that aren't democratic, they just shoot the homeless people and blue ball. I'm sorry. In Tales of the Shire, because I'm not used to a game where it's like, okay, it's after sundown and you collapse and fall asleep. I'm kind of like a twilight nighttime person. And so I have to be carried back home all the time in a wheelbarrow, and you wake up in your bed and it's like, you know, the guy says, I'm getting really strong arms. I'm carrying you back to bed in my wheelbarrow. And it's a very relaxing game, and has often been said the only way a hobbit can sleep all day and still get a meal is by fishing in the Shire. So there's my first example. No combat whatsoever, and everybody's friendly, and nobody says, hey, how come this isn't done? And you have to explain, because there's half the people to do it now.
Yeah, I will play that one eventually, because I've said this before, the Shire is my favorite part of Lord of the Rings Online. I could spend, and have spent, days in the Shire in Lord of the Rings.
Our Sunday Online. Night static group that we have every Sunday night, almost everybody rolled up hobbits, and here's a shout out to concerning hobbits, so that we could all game together in the Shire and enjoy the farmer's market that is on right now. Come play the farmer's market. Get yourself a dog.
There's a farmer's market?
Yes, there's a little farmer's market celebration going on, and you can have a great time and eat good food and get prizes and get a really nice dog.
Ooh. They have some nice pets in Lord of the Rings Online. One pet I got from a previous event is a corgi that carries a little trailer of fireworks behind it, and the fireworks go off at random, and it's a delight.
Got this thing. It is got the same pet. I don't ever use it in a dungeon.
Oh, it does it trigger? I don't think it triggers anybody.
No, I'm just kidding. You can have it go off while you're hiding next to an orc, and the orc will just say, "Oh, hey, that's pretty." No, it doesn't trigger anything.
Oh, right. Yeah. I should get back into Lord of the Rings Online. I really should. I think I will. All right.
Roll the Hobbit and join Concerning Hobbits.
No, I'm too invested in my Elven Hunter at this point. Way too invested. All right. Anybody else got one they want to throw out?
Of course.
Go for it, Thorsten.
Man. Okay. I've got two games, and I'll link something in the chat.
Oh, okay.
There they are.
Oh, yeah, this caravan sandwich.
Both are pretty similar and surprisingly similar. Both are adventures. Both are open world adventures. And both are kind of coming of age games. And what's incredibly similar too is both are... Both settings are desert planets in a way. What I like with both is the open world character of the whole thing. You just can't drive or in case of Sable fly around and watch the landscapes. Hence my introduction today. And I regularly find myself and just admiring the landscapes, just looking at the various mountains, dunes, and all that stuff that's there. I have to say, both have a very dark twist in their stories.
Oh.
in both you can find, I don't want to spoil it, in both games you can find the dark side of humanity.
Ooh.
And how it does treat other things. And but it's not the main thing. What I also find fascinating in both games, they are both without any violence in any way.
Oh, that's nice.
And
that's nice.
That's a pretty cozy thing.
That's nice. Yeah, I've been interested in that caravan sandwich game especially because it looks like I do love getting in a vehicle and driving around big open landscapes. And it'd be nice to not have someone shoot at me every now and again or whatever, you know.
I would also advise you to look at Sable, because Sable is, despite looking very weird at the first glance, is pretty interesting too. And it's very alien, to put it that way. You don't play an alien. It might look like you're playing an alien if you're just watching the trailer, but there's a reason for all these looks. And anyway, I like the style of Möbius, and Sable does bring that pretty good over.
Yeah, it's got a very interesting visual style. I got both on my wish list. Apparently, they haven't gotten cheap enough for me to buy.
So, a caravan sandwich is currently 50% off.
Oh, and that is its historic low. Also, but it is tempting.
Okay,
so much to play. Like, I just started Star Wars Outlaws, and it's good. Very good. Maybe I'll get, I don't know. God, it's how can you not go broke in this day and age of video games? There's just so much good stuff. Oh man. All right. Have we gone around the horn at least once? Have we gotten everybody at least once?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you, Jacob.
And I'm surprised at no point that did someone snipe what I feel is the obvious choice from under me. It is a game with no combat, and it's vanilla configuration mods notwithstanding. It does include a lot of explosions and potentially a lot of death if you're bad enough at it. Say hi to Kerbal Space Program.
Oh God! Right.
Okay.
Of course.
Which is. Yep, it is a game about building spaceships and sort of NASA-flavored spaceships and sending them out places. And but do I have to introduce Kerbal Space Program to this channel?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
No, I think we all know.
Not really.
Probably not. I think we all know. Even if we're not fans or whatever, we don't play it, we all know what it is.
Like, I'm pretty sure everyone is at least vaguely aware of Kerbal Space Program purely because of how good it is, and it is very good, even if it is, you know, nightmarishly difficult sometimes.
I bet you there are people who don't play video games that have heard of Kerbal Space Program. I'll ask my wife if she's heard of it.
But it is intensely fun, and it is intensely challenging, and honestly, if I had to pick a favorite game that doesn't involve direct combat and where mass death isn't the objective, I'll put it that way. Rest in peace, Jebediah.
poor Jebediah.
This is up, then KSP. Then KSP is absolutely my personal favorite, and it is a great shame it did not get a sequel. If we had cameras, you could see me like glare at the camera with the sort of look you'd give to your mortal enemy.
No, it didn't get a sequel. Wink, nudge, wink. I just thought of another one. Go ahead.
I mean, I just wanted to wrap up to say that, like, it's a game that I could talk about for a long time, but I also don't think I need to. Because it's Kerbal Space Program?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, let us continue.
I just thought of Taxinaut. I mean, Taxinaut does have combat in it, but you can avoid it and you don't have to engage with it. I mean, you can buy weapons, but they can be purely for self-defense. You know, you don't have to. And if you plan, and if you go, if you avoid the worst parts of the... if you avoid the worst parts of the galaxy, you won't have any problems like with someone trying to rob you or anything. So yeah, Taxinaut, I just realized, is a game where combat exists, but if you're careful, you don't have to engage in it at all. I mean, it pays to have, thank you, Thorsten. I forgot to put the link there. It pays to have, some weapons on hand in case you get ganked by a criminal, which can happen sometimes. But there are steps you can take, like don't carry around a lot of cash on you. For example, there are steps you can take to avoid that. Oh, so I've been talking to Restream, and it looks like there are AP issues with both Twitch and Facebook. And I'm like, well, that's nice. What about YouTube? So there, it sounds like it's a Restream problem, not a me problem. Thank God.
So
good to know
that it is technology failing us, not us failing technology.
Yes, I was worried I put in the wrong stream key, and clearly I didn't, because we streamed for 5 seconds and then stopped
to YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. We were on YouTube for 5 whole seconds and then stopped. So it's like, okay, well, I guess I did it right. And they're broken. And they're asking me if I could do a test stream. I'm like, not right now, I can't. I'm busy. I got stuff to do, y'all. But yeah, I mean, one of the reasons, and it's funny, out of my top 5 games, Taxinaut is the only one that doesn't have combat. Every other game is very combat heavy. But yeah, one thing I love about Taxinaut is you don't have to engage in combat if you're careful, if you're smart. But you should always, but folks, if you're going to play Taxinaut, once you get access to weapons, always have a few on hand, just in case. Weapons in a storage container. Always have those on hand. But yeah, you can avoid combat 97-98% of the time. Spaz, you got another
and the times you do have violence in Daxianaut, it's foisted upon you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, is I have never engaged in, I have never instigated combat in Daxianaut. Never once. It has always been some criminal is linked up with me. He's like, give me your money, and I hit him with an axe, and they're like, oh no, I thought you were someone else, and then they go away. It's great. It's terrific. But yeah, so Daxianaut is a good example. Daxianaut is a good example of a game where, you know, combat is there, but if you're smart, you can almost avoid it entirely. But it is a dangerous universe, so you still got to be, you know, prepared, you know, be a good Boy Scout, and be prepared. Anybody else got any other examples?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Go ahead, Julie.
First off, Portal, spoiler, the cake is real. Second off, Euro Truck Simulator on the road again.
Wait. Let's just do one at a time. Let's just do one at a time. Because other people have other... Let's just do one at a time.
So, Portal?
So, Portal, okay. Yeah, I guess there's no... I haven't played Portal much, but I guess it's purely puzzle, right? It's purely...
It's all... There is all puzzle. There is no combat whatsoever. I've never played Portal
unless 2. At least no, like, how do I say this? There are various flavors of turret that are trying to shoot you, but you can't shoot back. So arguably they're an environmental hazard.
Yeah.
Rather than a opponent.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Yeah. I don't do well with puzzles. That's why I never got far in either of the Portal games.
I would like to add Ixion.
That one does have no shooting in it.
Yeah, that's the station builder one. That's the station builder one, right?
At the end, you can get. I understand you can get attacked by aliens, but I've never gotten that far. Yes, it's a station builder.
I think there are other games like that where I can't remember them now, but they're like games where you build turrets to protect yourself from pirate attacks, but you don't actually like attack the pirates. But I think there's at least one station builder that's coming to my brain right now where you have to build turrets to protect your station, but you don't like instigate it. You don't instigate combat, just defending yourself.
In happier times, I started playing it, enjoying it, and then realized it was like a truck driver coming home, driving around the living room.
Some people do that.
There are, yeah, like the other example you brought up. I mean, I guess we could talk about it.
Euro Truck Simulator.
Apparently, a lot of truck drivers love that game. From what I'm told, a lot of truck drivers absolutely love it. A lot of people apparently love that game. So those are good examples of games that don't have any combat at all. I'm trying to think of any more. Does anybody got any more? Well, I'm trying to think of one.
There's actually one that I thought of that you can talk about, Brian.
What's that?
You streamed it. You streamed it back in 2021, I believe. Oof. It is a logistics management game. Slipways.
Oh God, that game is so good. That game is so it's like one of those games where like because there are several iterations of this kind of game where you have a planet and you have stuff around the planet and you link up to other planets. You're kind of creating a chain of links to take over other planets. But a lot of those games, you're sending fleets to take over other planets and then you build more fleets to take over other planets. But that's not how Slipways works. Slipways is all about proper resource management through basically building trade routes through these random galaxies. It isn't. Guys, if y'all haven't played Slipways, that's a terrific freaking game. I'm not good at it, I will admit, but I have to admit that is an absolutely terrific. It's almost board gamey, I would call it.
Yeah.
I would say it's kind of board gamey, but it is an excellent, like, non-violent, and the nice thing about it is, You don't have to plan too far ahead to make it work. Like I have won a game of Slipways or two, and I'm an idiot. So if I can win a game of Slipways, Anyone can. And it is just a great game. That's a good example, Spaz. Slipways is such a, I think that's one of the last games I did like pre-recorded videos for before I switched entirely to streaming. I think that was the last game I did. Cause I used to do pre-recorded videos for the week. I'd like record 5 videos on a Sunday and have them go throughout the week. That's when I was working full time. And then now I do the streaming things. I think this was like the last game I did that for 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, I think this might be the last one. That's how long ago it was. Excellent game, though. Excellent, excellent. Oh, my God. I can't recommend it enough if you all don't have it. Just a fantastic, fantastic game. Yeah, that's a good one. Anybody else got any to add?
Yeah, of course. I want to bring up The Invincible.
Oh, right. Which
Invincible. Is,
I forgot which is about that one.
Which is another adventure type of game, and also a bit open-worldy, but not much. It's based on the book by Stanislaw Lem, and the story is adjacent to the story to the book. So if you have read the book, there's not much of spoilery things happening. Let's put it that way. The general direction is similar, especially what's happening on the planet, but it has not much to do with the book. And I really recommend it. And by the way, I still have a fourth game. If you want to talk about,
sure.
If you have the time,
why not? Go ahead. We got time.
Give me a second.
Well, I can jump in while he's doing that.
Yeah, go for it.
I've got a quick one here. One that it's a city builder in which you get attacked. You get attacked by pirates, but your focus is building turrets for defense. You don't actually go out and attack them. And I've talked about it on the show before because I really like the game. It's Cliff Empire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that
it's one. A great little city builder because you have to manage a lot of factors, like your manage water, manage food, and you can buy resources from the orbital station up above, and you'll get new people coming down from the orbital station as long as you can satisfy their needs. But eventually you start getting attacked by pirates and you have to build your defenses to keep them at bay. But you don't actually go out and do anything offensive to attack them. You're just driving them off.
I never got as far as the pirates. After I played for a while, fire swept the entire city and killed everybody.
It's a difficult game with a difficulty curve that is pretty significant. But if you can grok it, it's worth it because there's a lot to manage, and once you get things flowing, you've got a lot of resources going back and forth. You get a teleporter that you can use to teleport resources to the station up above, and you're not burning as much fuel that way.
Oh, okay. I should have turned to that one.
I should go ahead.
Oh, yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, the last game I want to talk about today is a game by Inkle, and that's Heaven's Vault. And it's another adventure. Sorry for doing this today, but it starts out as a science fantasy game, but if you come to the end, you will find that it's not science fantasy at all. And what makes this game stand out for me is that you can actually decipher And that's by the way, the main reason I love this game so much. You can decipher the ancient languages in this universe. And that's so fascinating. It's basically only comparing various letters and words to what you already know. But anyway, it's, in my opinion, one of the rare games that do it good and right. So that's from my side.
Oh yeah, I've seen this one before, but I've not played it. I used to have the patience for adventure games back in the day, and I do not anymore. I think it's Sierra that killed them off for me. Sierra, basically, if you all recall, Sierra hated their players. They hated
their yeah, that's yes.
Yeah, that's a common players. Opinion. Yeah.
Now, in their defense, the more I interact with gamers, the more I understand.
That's fair. That's fair.
You know, yeah, that's also fair.
It's still a little excessive.
Oh, when you could die from falling off the second step of a staircase, it's like, yeah. They're like the Roald Dahl of game developers. Roald Dahl, children's author that notoriously hates children. I think that's how you say his name. Roald Dahl? Roald?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until you've never heard of him.
Yeah.
Wait, you've never heard of him?
Nope.
Oh, he did Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, James and the Giant Peach, several others besides those, but those are like the big adaptations.
Got it.
And yeah, he you read his books and you're like, wow, he hates kids. He just does not like kids at all. So that's how I felt about Sierra after a while. But this one looks, I would probably not play this myself because I think I would get frustrated with the deciphering of the alien language, but I have to say, I love that games like this exist. I love that game, that there's an audience for games like this and people like to play them. So that's good. Anybody else have any more? I can't think
of one more. Oh, I've got a big one.
Okay.
I've got Julie, a big one, but Julie, you go first.
Julie, you spoke first. Julie, you go first. Then we'll end. This segment with spazzes.
The game where everybody's already dead but the player. Cozy Grill. Nothing but dead bears and imps.
Cozy Grill?
Cozy Grill.
Cozy Grove.
Cozy Grove.
You play a little, what do they call it? A ghost scout or something like that? But the whole point of the game is to bring closure to all these ghost bears and do the fetch it quests and it's very relaxing.
This is gorgeous. Yeah,
Cozy Grove.
This is a gorgeous game. My God. I love the art style.
Isometric. Yeah. Isometric. Very relaxing. You can't kill anybody. They're already dead. Slow down. Everybody's dead. It looks even better at nighttime.
Oh yeah. This is, I'm just looking at the screenshots. This is utterly gorgeous. It looks like a book. It looks like a really beautiful, picture book. Gorgeous art. My God. All right, that's going on the wish list with the thousands of other games I have in the wish list. But no, that's going on there. This looks like...
And it's on Switch.
Ah, of course. Now, this looks like... this looks like a very, very cozy game. I should see if it's on Android also. All right, Spaz, why don't you wrap up this segment with the game you want, the last one.
Right. This was the second game I had in mind when I thought of this topic. And it's one of the reason I say it's a big one is because we've talked about it on the show many, many times before. And it is Sunshine Heavy Industries.
Of course. Oh, my God. Of course. What a terrific. Yeah, there's no combat in that at all. You're building things. You know,
You're building ships. You are trying to optimize your build so that because whatever money you don't spend on the build, you earn as profit. So your goal is to optimize as much as you can with the parts that you have.
Yeah. The writing
is so excellent in that game.
Funny. So funny.
It is extremely funny. You have a You have a digital cat companion who literally shows up with a pop-up of cat.exe.
Delightful.
Oh, it's very delightful. Yeah, you've got to own this game if you listen to this podcast, even if you don't like puzzle games, because this is technically a puzzle game.
I don't, and I'll tell you all, if I may interject, I don't like puzzle games, typically. I don't, and this game is terrific. Game is utterly terrific.
It is that good.
It is so
good. It is that good.
It is so good. Didn't they make something else after that? Like, they had a follow-up to it or something?
Yeah, Cobalt Core.
Right. Oh, that.
Which you streamed. Yeah.
Which is another excellent game, but that has combat, if I recall correctly.
It has combat. It's also set in the same universe and has some of the same characters show up.
Right. I forgot about that one. Cobalt Core. That's another excellent game. It feels so much longer ago
but
than
yeah.
that.
Yeah, but if you have not played Sunshine Heavy Industries, pick it up.
It's so good, you guys.
It's
so good.
You will find yourself laughing at the dialogue between the builds.
Oh my
God. It is that good.
It's like, it kind of makes me want to load it up and start it again. Well, I think I'll restart a run.
Yeah, there are very few games that are like it.
Yeah,
because a lot of games have shipbuilding. A lot of games have puzzles. This combines both, giving you certain conditions you have to fulfill. But because you're not timed, you can take your time to work it out before you finalize the build. And you unlock new parts, which can make your builds, your future builds, even more efficient.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to restart a run, I think. Because it's been patched severely since I played it last, and so makes sense. All right, well, friends,
I haven't played it since I completed the main story, but yeah,
I never did. So
you can complete the main story. Yeah, so, it's worth it doing that.
So, friends, as part of the this new version of the show, we are playing a game in the background that we will eventually do an episode on. And our current game is Space Pirates and Zombies, which came out in 2011. I have been chipping away at this thing. I forgot how much fun it is. Is anyone else playing it besides me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah, I've unlocked maybe half a dozen or so systems at this point. And I forgot that they really mean the pirate part. They really do mean the pirate part, because you don't play this game as not, you don't get by in this game by being nice. Like I'm a nice guy. I try to be, so like, I always default to being nice in like every game I'm in. Like, I don't even want to offend NPCs. You know, I'm just always like with KOTOR, I can never be the evil guy. I'm always like, I really care about what this NPC thinks, and I'm going to be nice to them. You know? So, but this is a game where you cannot be nice. You can't be.
You are the anti-hero.
You cannot be nice, or you will not get far at all. You have to be a pirate, which means you kind of have to be a dick. And but it works. It works so well. So I've got, good.
Well, you know, normally top-down games aren't my thing. So, but you know, I'm playing it, and the thing is, it's just the art style, but because it, on my computer anyway, it looks like I'm looking through like some water. And so I played this game, and it makes me think like I'm God looking through a microscope at somebody's little universe.
I wonder if there's a graphical setting we can figure out to turn off. Make it look a little sharper, because I don't get that vibe, but I could see where you're coming from, because space is kind of blue, not pure black. It's got kind of a blue hinge to it.
It might just be my computer. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I will take a look at it, because you know, maybe there's a thing we can do. But that game, folks, if you guys haven't played, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't played Space Pirates and Zombies, what is happening? How'd you get here? How'd you find us?
Well, it's possible they've not heard of it because of it, it did come out in 2011 and it wasn't on Steam until 2012.
That's true. That's true. Okay, fans. That's a good point.
I did look over it because of the set word. I hate zombies. I hate zombie games. Sorry.
The fun thing about this one is the zombies are more like the Borg in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
understand that by now. What I find interesting is, I had a very rough start with the game. It didn't work at all on my new rig, but we found a solution for it. And since I can play it, I really have to say it's surprisingly playable from the UI side.
Yeah. I've got
similar problems with top down games in general because they are too often too much actiony in a way, and Space Pirates and Zombies is highly playable for me. That's the thing I really like.
Yeah, it's I don't know. These guys are like masters of the UI. Like every game they make, their UI is just like their latest game, Clan Folk, might have one of the best UIs I've ever seen in a game. Like it's just that good, and they just keep making it better for every game they make. So when I went back to play this, I'm like, oh yeah, these guys were doing it right 14, 15 years ago. These guys were doing UI right. Yeah. So, friends, I guess we should wrap up. Sorry about the stream issue. Apparently, it's not our fault. So, there's not going to be a YouTube with this one, which is fine. So, we're going to be back in 2 weeks. On the 24th is our next show. What is the top? Oh, God, I can't. I'm blanking. I know I wrote it somewhere. The next topic is... What is it? What is it? Come on. Oh, there it is. Long games that draw you in for the long haul. So that is our next topic. That'll be a fun one because there are a lot. I could come up with like 10 right off the top of my head. So I'm gonna have to pare it down a bit. But that's gonna be a fun topic. And tomorrow, if I'm feeling up to it, because again, I'm having dental surgery today, so I don't know how I'm going to feel tomorrow. If I'm feeling up to it, we're going to be playing the latest expansion for X4. I think it's called the Envoy Pack, I think, that just came out today. So we're going to be playing that tomorrow. So have a great one, everyone. Be safe, be well, take care of each other. Please get all your shots and vaccines while you still can before they take them away from us. Wear your masks. Seriously, masks work. Seriously, they work. Thank you, as always, to our patrons who literally pay for things like Restream, which is great when it works, which is, to be fair, 98, 99% of the time. This is very unusual. Restream is very reliable, so I can't be mad at them. They work so well so often. I can't be mad at them.
I also believe we get to blame Twitch for this one.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe it didn't go anywhere. It went to both Twitch and YouTube for about 5 seconds and then stopped. So this is definitely a Restream problem. So hopefully they'll get their ducks in a row. Don't forget to check out Retro Dogfight, my new podcast about old flight sims. Episode 5 is out now, where we talk about F-15 Strike Eagle and Gunship. And don't forget to wear your helmet. We'll see you back here later, folks. Have a great one. Bye-bye. I'm